Well, good afternoon, 360 Coaching listeners and followers. This is John Christmas the Fourth coming up to you with another great episode. So we finally got Coach Eck. I know I mispronounced that, so I greatly apologize for that, Coach. But he's here at UNR Strength and Conditioning, so he is here today to talk to us a little more about strength and conditioning. We are lucky enough to have him on here. So, Coach, why don't you take it away and tell him a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, well, again, my name is Matt Eck. I am the Director of Strength and Conditioning here and have been here for... What am I in? 16 years, I think, already. You know, from a strength and conditioning standpoint, I oversee all of our student athletes. I oversee our department here at the university, all of our varsity sports that are sponsored through our athletic department. I work specifically with football, with baseball. Those are the two sports that I have really direct oversight with. And then I've got six assistants that work underneath me, and I really shouldn't say underneath me because we all work together. And I hate the concept of necessarily a boss overseeing. I'm not the kind of guy that looks over my guy's shoulders and is necessarily just creeping on them all the time and looking at what they're doing. I am the type of person, I guess, that wants to learn more from them. And so anytime that we can get together with my staff and look at what we're doing from a strength and conditioning standpoint, and they bring ideas from other places that they've been, we are a huge collaboration basically on what strength and conditioning is for our student athletes. And I think the biggest part about what we do is the interaction between us and our student athletes. We want to have that kind of relationship. We want to have their trust, and at the same time we have to trust them. And so I feel like it's a pretty unique dynamic that we have. We've become a really tight-knit family here as far as my staff goes. So I'm really pleased about the direction that we're going and things like that. But a little bit about my background, I guess, if your listeners are interested in that. I got into strength and conditioning. I played high school football in small town in Kansas. Grew up in a small town in Kansas, really a farming type community, and was never a stranger, I guess, to hard work. My dad, I learned almost everything I know, not necessarily about strength and conditioning, but about work ethic, about those kind of things from my parents, and specifically my dad. He had the same job from the time he was 18 years old. He went to work for Cargill Flour Milling and spent my whole childhood and most of my adult life so far working for the same company, worked his way up. And I had summer jobs with him, but seeing my dad work every day the way that he did and teaching us what work looks like, and whether that's manual labor or whether that's not so manual labor, just watching my dad from the time that I grew up, is fantastic, and it set a really, I guess, a really high bar for me and what I expected of myself. So high school athletics led to college athletics. I went to Kansas State University and played football for Kansas State, and when I was finished playing there, I got involved with strength and conditioning. But my love, my appreciation, my knowledge of what this field is about really started to expand while I was at K-State. And I was I came into K-State as an engineering major. My older brother had gone to K-State as an engineering major, and so I figured, well, that's probably got to be the path that I want to take. Hated it. It couldn't have been farther from what I wanted to do. I knew that I loved sports. I knew that I wanted to be around sports, playing football. Always something going on in my life that really revolved around sports. So I got into kinesiology, biomechanics, that kind of stuff, and that really, really started to resonate with me and hit home. It was so much easier for me to study, and it was something that I enjoyed studying. And so doing my undergraduate degree in kinesiology, biomechanics, that kind of stuff was really, really interesting to me. But it all kind of spurred with Rod Cole, who was my strength and conditioning coach at Kansas State. And he is one of my mentors to this day. In May, I'll be receiving my Master Strength Coach jacket, and Coach Cole is going to present to me. So that is a huge honor. And he came and spoke to one of our kinesiology classes. And that is just, you know, being a student athlete and going to weightlifting, going through the strength and conditioning stuff, you never really realize how much goes into the planning and preparation of what we do as strength and conditioning coaches. And so I didn't, you know, my first 2 years at Kansas State, I didn't appreciate Coach Cole and what it was. You know, it's just, you show up on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, you've got bench, you've got squat, you've got deadlift, you've got all these other things. But there was, in my mind, there was really no rhyme or reason. It was just go in there, he'll tell you what to do, you know. So after he came and presented to our class, in our kinesiology class, he blew my mind. And it led me to sit down with him almost every day. And what's the why? What's the why behind what we're doing? And he was so eloquent in laying that stuff out to me and teaching a kid that had no experience being a strength coach, showing him what they were planning for at K-State. And at that time, we're in the beginning stages of the Big 12 conference when all the Texas schools joined. And so there's a lot of pressure on his plate. But for him to spend the extra time and for his assistants to spend the extra time with me, teaching me, and one of my best friends, Phil Roberts, who's down at Chaffee College down in Rancho Cucamonga, California. Though his staff, Coach Cole's staff, spent so much time with me and Phil just teaching us and molding us and basically what we are today, and setting a really, really good foundation for what we come to think of and express to our student athletes as far as strength and conditioning goes. So that was the tipping point, was when Coach Cole really came and spoke to us, and that really sparked my interest. And throughout the next 2 years of my playing career, I spent so much time in the weight room knowing the why. And I don't think there was a lot of student athletes that were my teammates that really understood the why. They just did the what and the how. And for me, that was a huge stepping stone for me, is to get that. And after I finished playing, I started working a little bit with men's basketball there at Kansas State. And at that time, Tom Asbury was the head coach for men's basketball, and Mark Fox was one of his top assistants. And Coach Fox and I kind of had a relationship just from the weight room, from seeing each other and those kind of things. You know, 6 months goes by, 10 months goes by, I start working as a student assistant in the weight room when I'm done. And at that point, Coach Fox and Coach Asbury and his staff had been fired from Kansas State. And Coach Fox got hired on here at Nevada under Trent Johnson, who was the basketball coach back when I first arrived here. And so Coach Fox calls me and Jason Lascalzo, who is the director of strength and conditioning up at Washington State right now. Jason calls me, and at that time he was an assistant here at Nevada, and he says, hey, we've got an opportunity for you if you want to come. We've talked to Coach Snyder, we've talked to Coach Cole, we've talked to Coach Fox. We want to know if this is something that you'd want to do. And that was early 2001, and you know, the rest is, I guess, history. I come out here sight unseen and hit the ground running as an assistant, and you know, really started to formulate my own ideas and running my own teams. And at that time, it was John Archer was our head strength coach here at Nevada. He had previously been at Nebraska for 7 or 8 years, and so coming from the Husker Power system and hiring a Kansas State guy, he probably was like, "Holy cow, what am I doing? This is, we're rivals. What are we doing? Bringing somebody like you in." And Coach Archer spent a lot of time with me, and Jason Lascalzo left fairly early on when I got here. He was here for about 3 months. I actually lived with the guy, and he was so helpful to me to get me started here in Nevada. And he was a real guy that I credit as taking a chance on me for an assistant type position. So there was three of us. It was John Archer, Jason, and myself, and we really, you know, took off with all these programs. And back then, having 17, 18, 19 different sports and only three people to work with them, really hectic schedules. You know, I would say, now I'm comfortable saying that back then, 15, 16 years ago, there was a lot of cookie cutter programs that we were putting out, and it was just to get everybody in with us and just to make sure that we're covering our bases. And we just didn't have the manpower back then that we do now. So from a programming standpoint, from all those things that go into it, we have grown so much here. And in my 9 years, 8 years of being the director, you know, adding new staff members, adding more full-time positions here, those kind of things have really started to help separate what we've done, what we're doing now and what we were doing in the past. And I never want to consider it personal training. It's not personal training, but we are way more individualized to our student athletes' needs now than we were 10, 12, 13, 15 years ago. So the growth that we've seen here at Nevada has been phenomenal. Not only in athletics and facilities, but our whole university. When I first came here, I think there was probably 12, 13,000 students total with the university, and we're up over 20,000 students now. So there's just been a gigantic amount of growth and growing in the conferences. I got here in 2001, and we had just joined the Western Athletic Conference, and that was a big move from us coming from where we were before. And then in 2012 to move into the Mountain West, and again, just keep raising the bar for ourselves. And
I guess really what I want to hit on, and since, you know, you guys gave us a really good overhaul on the way you lead your teams and the way that things are kind of done here, I really like asking the way especially you lead, because you lead very well, starting from the why, leading from a horizontal view instead of a vertical view. So describe to me kind of your leadership style. Do you mold it after anybody? Because I know you had a great influence at K-State with that. So how is it that you lead yourself?
Well, I look at leadership as, you know, not only exemplary, but giving empowering other people to make their own decisions. So when I'm talking about student athletes, or when I'm talking about my staff, I want to empower them to make their own decisions. I want to give them guidelines and framework and let them work within those things. That has been really helpful for our staff from a development standpoint. We get to open up conversations that maybe were shut off before. And you know, I'm a quiet natured guy, but when you put me in this setting, I am, especially with football, with baseball, with some of our bigger sports, I am loud, I am obnoxious at sometimes, but in a good way, I think. I think our student athletes will tell you that they can respond to how I lead, how I develop not only our staff but them as student athletes. It's about having fun. It's what you talked about with your podcast. We want to make this fun, and I want to make our student athletes have the get to attitude instead of the got to. Man, it's Monday, I gotta go lift weights, it's mandatory, No. You get to come see Coach Hall, you get to come see Coach Tokars, you get to come interact with us, you get to set new standards for yourself. So from a leadership standpoint, it is showing them, it is verbalizing it to them, it is showing them support and knowing that, having them know that we care about them as athletes, them as people, them as you know, counterparts to their teammates. That's the biggest thing I think that I can probably do for them, and to empower them to make decisions on their own. You know, I think you know, a long time ago, everything was scripted for our student athletes when they walked in the door. They really had no gray area. And here's what you're doing today. Here's the weight that you're going to do today. Here's how we're going to teach it, blah, blah, blah. Some of those things haven't changed, but a lot of it is giving our student athletes the opportunity for input and the opportunity to have some say in their own training. And over the last couple of years, I've seen that play out, and I've seen the development side of our student athletes kind of take off, and I've seen the development of our staff take off with that as well. When you give them options and leave it up to them. I mean, I want my staff to be leaders also. So if I'm just in the dictator role, then I'm doing them a disservice. And I want them to interact the same way with their student athletes that they're in charge of. And so from a leadership standpoint, that's really the biggest thing for me is making sure that everybody has the power to have a voice and everybody gets to have a say. You may not be able to make all the decisions. We'll help you with some of the decisions, but I want them to understand how invested we are for them and how invested we are in their training and their nutrition and their sleep and every piece of the puzzle that goes into athletic performance. So,
and that again, you know, encompassing the holistic athlete is always tough these days because now that the amount of research that is out is so vast, whether it be through the NSCA or the AMA or everybody else that comes out with something new every day. I always like asking, especially when it comes to strength and conditioning, the philosophy that comes behind your department, and especially you, I always like defining what that philosophy is. So what is the philosophy here at UNR, and what is your own personal philosophy? I probably assume they go hand in hand.
Well, yeah, they probably do. And I look for similar traits in the people that I hire for our assistant positions and things like that. But I look for people that are grounded. I look for a philosophy that is grounded and is, I guess, multifaceted. There is so much that we beg, borrow, and steal from everybody. You know, it's not my way is the only way. Like I said, I pick the brains of my assistants all the time on how we can do things better. But I think the biggest thing that we've done here and the biggest change that we've made is focusing on the actual mechanics of movement and returning our student athletes through weight training, through nutrition, through sleep, through all these things back to how they should move. We see so many dysfunctional athletes and I don't want to ever sound like, well, we're this functional movement group that's all they're doing in here is just screening guys and working on FMS and SFMA and all that kind of stuff. That's not true. I mean, it is an environment that is full of weightlifting, of what you'd see when you come to a typical gym, what you'd look for in a weight room. You have guys that are moving heavy weights, but they have to prove it to us. There's a progression to what we do, and we start with every one of our student athletes as if they are a training age of zero, and we're teaching from the ground up. Some of our student athletes move very, very quickly into a more advanced program, I guess, with us. They advance through our progressions a lot faster than other student athletes. They may have had a great strength coach throughout their high school career, throughout their, you know, formative years early on. A lot of our student athletes that we get here have never touched, never seen, never been around a weight room before in their life, especially from some of our Olympic sports, with men's basketball, with baseball, you know, our tennis teams, things like that. So there is a lot of just foundational work to be put into place. And like I'm saying, we're a movement-based program that focuses on our human body and our human anatomy and how can we move better to prevent injuries. If you look at our job descriptions, my job description, the first thing that lists on there is the health and safety of our student athletes. So that's what we're going to be about. We're a safety first weight room that we're here to help our student athletes gain an edge outside. And that is an all-encompassing, I guess, point of view. But you know, there's powerlifting principles, there's CrossFit principles in here. There's, you know, there's Olympic style lifting that goes on. It's all those things, and finding what works best for the University of Nevada. And what works best for the University of Nevada and its student athletes may not be what's right for Boise State University or for University of Washington or University of Maine. And I think we are finding that balance here. And as our student athletes go through our program, they're able to teach all of the student athletes that come in as freshmen, as transfers, and the carryover and the teaching that happens from us to our student athletes, and then from our student athletes to student athletes. That's what's really rewarding to see put in motion. We're really proud of how we work here and how we progress through what we do. Everything has we've got a plan for everything, and everything has an end game to it. And where are we at in reaching that end game? We may be 2 years away from it. We may be 2 months away from it. And each individual athlete is going to be different in how we present new things to them and how we look at each one of our student athletes. So, you know, I tell all of our recruits when they come here, the six, seven of us that work in here, we're in evaluation mode at all times. And we're looking at how you move and how can we get you to move better so that you can be stronger, so that you can be more explosive and express power and those kind of things, which, you know, explaining to our student athletes, they don't understand all that stuff, and giving them the why behind what we do, not only from, I think in the last several years, the 2 hours that they spend with us from a strength and conditioning standpoint is the least of my concern. It's the 22 hours that they spend away from us every day. That's where our concern lies now, is how do they take care of themselves when they walk out of our door? We know what we're doing in here. They know what they're doing in here. But do they know how to sleep? Do they know how to eat right? Do they know how to prepare themselves for competition? Do they know how to take care of their soft tissue? Do they know about tissue quality and how it affects their movement and those kind of things? And so I think we're educators. I think our philosophy is an education-based philosophy, and every one of us in this room has the same kind of goal to mold our student athletes into model athletes and have them have a very well-versed knowledge of what we're doing from an athletic performance standpoint by the time they leave here, 4, 5, 3 years in, whatever the case may be. And I feel like we're getting there with most of our student athletes. You've always got your outliers, but you know, from that standpoint, do you understand that the time away from here is more important than the time in here? That is so crucial for our kids to understand, because they will spend hours in here tearing themselves down and then leave and barely eat and barely sleep. And you know, a lot of what we do is catered to that, and from our nutrition philosophy, from how we work with our student athletes on nutrition and sleep education and, you know, soft tissue and those kind of things that really make a difference for our student athletes. So from that standpoint, I'm really impressed with my staff and their knowledge and how they communicate that to our student athletes, along with my message, obviously, that's working through them.
And that's great that you build a good team for that. And it's the same thing whether I coach athletes, corporations, or businesses. Yeah. The team perspective is incredibly important towards their success. And I think for a lot of students especially, understanding the role that your physical body, mental, your emotional, your spiritual, all those things playing into each other matter a lot in your well-being, especially just not for being strong, but just being happy, I think. And
yeah,
I think that's difficult to grasp as a 20-year-old, maybe. Yeah. And I know I didn't until I got much older, obviously. But, you know, delving into one of my favorite topics, just because it is more along the swing of things, is how much do you guys deal with dealing with their mental preparation, especially since this is a weight room, so they do have to get mentally prepared for this.
Right.
And then how do you guys get them mentally prepared for competition, really? Because this leads a huge way into that.
I think that the way that we organize our training, the way that we communicate to our student athletes, the way that they see when they walk into the room, from the moment they walk into the room, my staff is on the floor. We're organized in how we're going to work throughout that day. They see the methods behind the chaos. And from a mental preparation, you know, our football coaches, my strength staff, our basketball coaches, we have to prepare our student athletes to take themselves to the point of exhaustion. And then how do you deal with that? And how do you respond from that point? So there's certain situations that we'll throw at our student athletes. We'll put their backs against the wall and we'll see how they deal with it. Not just individually, but even as a team of 3 to 5 to 6 guys. And those 5 guys are all dependent on each other and how they work together to accomplish the task and how they motivate each other and how they prepare for what they're going to do in here. And you know, a simple task such as a log carry. All right, we've got to communicate. We've got to talk about how we're going to carry out our task. And, you know, we've got a certain amount of time. And we give them as few specifics about it and let them work it out. Because I'm not going to be out there on the field when they're getting ready for their competition. And we want them to have ownership in what they're doing. So I think from the mental side, having them understand, knowing that they can depend on one another, is a huge piece to what we're doing in here. From a mental preparation standpoint, you know, our summer training, our winter training, it's all geared towards team functionality and how they can respond to adversity. You know, there's a day where we may turn off all the lights, we may do something completely crazy, and what are you going to do? If it's snowing outside, there's nothing you can do about it. How do you respond to different things that are thrown at you, and can you maintain your poise, and can you maintain the communication lines with your teammates to accomplish what we're trying to get done? So, you know, the psychology of sport is something that has always interested me, and I think my staff also, I would be the first to tell you that we don't know a whole lot about sports psychology. And so we have people on campus that we can refer to from that aspect. But as far as the training side of it goes, we want them to communicate with each other. We want them to trust each other. We want them to develop a chemistry with each other, from volleyball to swim and dive to everybody, not just football. How do we go about our training? And how are we going to accomplish it together? And can we make each other better by doing things together, by communicating, by working together? Those things are part of the principles of what we work on from a mental standpoint.
And I love the mental game a lot, but I also understood after a very long period of time, it was very difficult to find a job in that industry. Yeah. So the reason I picked up coaching really is such a value is that doing it with businesses, still doing it with athletes, still doing it with organizations, I can help a lot more than I normally did. And incorporating this into a corporation, especially with normal employees, is often very difficult because they don't understand a why. Athletes have a purpose and a why, at least. So for me, it's like you translate your performance in the weight room to the performance on the court, so the crossover is better. Employees don't necessarily always understand that, so it's great to hear from a strength coach right. That there's crossover, because, you know, it's difficult to explain that to everybody. But
it definitely is.
Going into now really the recovery side of strength and conditioning, because I read so much about now how athletes, really the big epidemic now is they're under-recovering a lot. So I know we've spoken into really nutrition and sleep, but what is it that you advise for athletes on their nutrition side, sleep side? I don't know if there's a nutritionist with the program, but I'd love to know what you coach them on.
Over the last year and a half, 2 years, we have really been working hard with our team doctors, with our medical society, I guess, if you want to call it that, here at the University of Nevada, to be able to have some registered dietitians that help us and work with us. But I think from a nutrition philosophy standpoint, we're looking at Whole Foods. We're looking at getting our student athletes to understand that there is nothing that they can't get from that they can get from a supplement that they can't get from food in some sort of fashion. And so, teaching them the principles of Whole Foods philosophy, taking our student athletes shopping, it blows their minds what we're looking at when we walk into a grocery store. They immediately want to go to the middle aisles of a grocery store. And we know what's in the middle aisle of the grocery store. We know there's Flaming Hot Cheetos. We know that there's soda. We know that there's all the, I guess, the crap food that not just athletes, but America in general spends so much money on crap and filling our bodies with that kind of stuff. And we work, I guess, we from the research side, we work from a inflammation standpoint. And so, can we help our student athletes reduce inflammation? If we are a chronically inflamed student athlete, we're probably going to be a chronically injured athlete. So how do we help reduce inflammation in our body? Well, transforming our thinking from waking up in the morning and having something from a box and this can thing and this box thing and transforming our thinking about food. Can we shop the perimeter? Can we look at what our produce is doing for us, and can we shop in the dairy section? Can we go to the butcher and look at real meat? Can we look at those kind of things and build your menu, build your diet based on those things that we know where it came from? I can't tell you where Flaming Hot Cheetos came from. I have no clue. I know where beef comes from. I know where chicken comes from. I can see those things, and teaching our athletes about what it's doing inside your body from the chemistry standpoint of tissue breakdown, tissue repair, those kind of things, and how nutrition is really fueling what you do, not only in the weight room, but in the classroom as well, and during your sleep and every other aspect of your life. You know, when normal freshmen walk in here, you ask them how many times a day they eat, most of them will skip breakfast. They may have something, they may get a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or something like that for lunch, and then they'll have a decent dinner at some point along the line. That might be good for somebody who's going to school normally and not have the pressure of college athletics on top of them also, but as Division I college athletes, you'll have no chance if your nutrition looks like that. And so reforming their ideas and giving them the why behind what we're doing from a nutrition standpoint has been really, really key for us. And we generate a lot of interest, I think, from our, you know, we're always posting things on our Twitter account and things like that, just healthy ideas for our student athletes and things to think about from tips and those kind of things. We have student nutrition interns that come into our facility and help us with our nutritional needs. We've had some donors here that have significantly helped our movement from a nutrition standpoint. We're able to blend, you know, fruit veggie smoothies every day. I don't know this to be true, but I am, as much research as I've done on it, I believe that we are the only Division I university that has created their own protein powder for their student athletes, all based on a Whole Foods philosophy, full of dietary fats, meets NCAA regulations, all those things. And so we use that with our student athletes every day, and they crave it. They love it for post, whatever they're doing, post exercise. But we developed it for any time of the day, basically. We keep the amount of sugar in our protein is low. So it's all those things. It's communicating to our student athletes how to take care of their body from a nutrition standpoint. And, you know, I look at it as kind of a paradigm shift. 30 years ago, strength and conditioning was what student athletes needed. 40 years ago, that's what was separating them at the time. When Nebraska in the late 60s, early 70s, when Boyd Epley was starting that program at the University of Nebraska, that helped change the University of Nebraska into a national power, in my opinion. But now everybody has a weight room. Everybody has strength coaches. Everybody has programs that they go through. That's not necessarily what is separating our student athletes this day and age. What's separating them is the 22-hour rule, like we talked about. How are you taking care of your body outside of here? And what are you doing from a nutrition standpoint to take care of yourself? How are you fueling your body? Are you taking care of your brain? I'll tell all of our student athletes when they come in for a recruiting visit, I'm more interested when you go and check yourself out in the mirror, I'm more interested in looking at you from the neck up than from the neck down. What does your body look like from the neck up? How are you fueling your motor? How are you fueling what your body responds to from a neuro standpoint and those kind of things? And if we're just feeding ourselves crap, we're going to get the same thing out. And I don't want that for our student athletes. I want them to see the benefits of a solid nutrition program, a solid strength and conditioning program, a solid 22-hour science that we can give to them and educate them on.
And I think that's, for me, you said one of the main words I love saying the most, because I believe 90 to 95% of disease is inflammatory related, and that's proven. And I really work hard to make sure that they eat very clean, especially, but also they supplement so that they can get some anti-inflammatory in, because, you know, whether it be omega-3 or oregano, sure, or those things are going more into the mainstream now. A lot of people were really afraid of it, and they don't like the size of it, they don't like the taste of it, but I always go with the same thing. Look at its purpose, don't really look at the taste.
Yeah, exactly.
And creating a protein powder, that's a step above where most colleges would ever go, or even most people or anything, organizations, sure. You know, there is no Microsoft protein powder, you know, so, you know, I commend the university for doing that and your staff for really implementing that, because that's awesome. So, breaking into now what I, you know, heard you say before, and I really like it, but the reasons why, and these are so, I don't want to say they're difficult, they're hard to sometimes explain to an 18 to 22-year-old who's coming in, but when you give a purpose towards, let's say, like, this given month that you're in right now for any sports team, do you define, like, here's the reasons why, here's the goals you have, you know, how is it that you break down your programming within a, let's say, even a week, because these weeks are probably very significant.
Well, everything I think that we do happens a couple of months in advance from a planning preparation standpoint, and what's going to happen during this week and next week. You know, those things have all been planned out. But, you know, we have to be adaptable. We have to be able to change and move across the sliding scale, I guess. And so what was good for our team last winter conditioning is nowhere near what we need this winter conditioning, and that takes a lot of input from a lot of different people, from obviously our head coaches of each of their teams, and from their assistants who work really, really closely with the student athletes, and they see things that we don't see. And so the communication that has to happen from the coaching staff to my staff to our athletic trainers to our physical therapists to our doctors, it's a huge collaboration in what we're looking to do. And you know, we, from a goal standpoint, we may give our student athletes the opportunity to express their own goals, and as we move throughout the semester, you know, we're in the middle of March right now, and as we move towards May, we'll start communicating with our student athletes and especially our football team. And what I'm going to be doing is helping them establish their goals for the summertime. And we did the same thing for winter conditioning back in October, November. You know, leading up to those time periods, is where do you see yourself? What do you want to do? What do you want to become? How do you want to go about it? And educating our student athletes on how we can go about it and how we're going to prepare them. You know, we saw Coach Pullian especially saw a need for a bigger, stronger team this winter period. And that became our focus. That became what we were looking to accomplish during these last 6, 7, 8 weeks since our guys came back and rejoined us in January. So every period is different, but we want to empower our student athletes to have some say, and we want them to. It's one thing if I have a goal for a kid to clean 300 pounds, but he may never get there, and he knows it, or she knows it. How do we empower them to understand the steps that it may take to get there? My goals may be maybe unrealistic for a lot of our student athletes, but I see how much they can accomplish. And a lot of times I think we're dealing with student athletes that aren't very confident in their own abilities, and we see things that they can't see in themselves, and communicating those things to them and showing them that it's okay to fail, that that's an opportunity to learn, and now we can set a new goal. We got to that, and now we can see where we can go from here. Let's implement this technique and see if that changes anything, whether that's Olympic style lifting or squat patterns or whatever the case we're talking about. But we want to empower our student athletes to help us make goals for their sessions, whether that's a Monday session, whether that's a 3-week period or a full summer conditioning. We want them to have say, and we see value in their buy-in. If they're consumed with it, if they understand what they're doing and how they're going about it and why they're doing the speed work and why they're doing the push-ups with a band and why they're doing all those things and how it translates to what they're going to do on the field, the buy-in for them is so much easier, and we don't have to spend time coaching a kid on effort, and that those kind of things happen naturally. And so I like that aspect of it. I like the empowerment of our student athletes, giving them a voice, and you know, that's why it's such a big part of our philosophy, and I think it has a role in everything that we do.
No matter what I've really read or done, if you can empower an individual, that empowers the group, because all you really need is one, and hopefully it's the main one. Yep. I always like to say, hopefully yep. it's their CEO or the board or the main athlete or the star sure. athlete or the captain, but the reality is getting buy-in is a really a philosophy thing, and that's an important thing that I learned more and more about when I not necessarily grew up, just I got more educated, and then I went to these great strength coaches and these conferences and heard that word so much, and then I finally got lucky enough to read Pete Carroll's book, and he makes such a big deal about philosophy when he was at SC and with the Seahawks, and so I really dug into that, and I loved it. So I always like to have a saying that I like to train human potential, and that kind of is my ripped it off from somewhere, but I train human potential because it encompasses the whole human being, and I really like that, and I like that your program does exactly that, and I really like that. So the other thing I did want to ask, because I have seen this around UNR now a lot, the battle born, the battle ready. Where did these things come from? Because I see them all over town as well. So what is that phrase?
Well, if you look on our state flag, the actual banner on our state flag is battle born, and so we were a battle born state is what is basically the battle cry. During the Civil War, you know, that's when Nevada became a state, and it was through the battles that we became a state. And so that has always been on our state flag, is Nevada is a battle-born state. To my knowledge, the battle-ready part of it is a cry from the military, and is a cry from USS Nevada, the sailors on the USS Nevada, whenever they are in a group setting, they will yell that out. And we've had one of the commanders from the USS Nevada come approach our football team, and it was really, really cool to see the sailors here from the USS Nevada on our campus talking to our football players and saying the same kind of things that we say as a team. And so we have, our athletic department has used that as kind of a slogan, and it's fun. It's easily recognizable from our state flag. So we use that throughout our model of strength and conditioning. We're battle born. We're battle ready. We're that kind of a community. We're that kind of a team that is always at a moment's notice ready to go. And I dig that. I love that aspect of it. You'll see it all around campus. You'll see it at anywhere that's really attached to the University of Nevada. You'll see those things. So that, I know that's where it came from. It's on our state flag, and that's where it got its start, is through the Civil War era when Nevada became a state. So it's pretty cool that it still has some carryover, you know, however many years later, 200 years later, over 200 years later, now that we're still using that.
Yeah, and that's, you know, for me, I like legacy. I like having that, because I came from smaller schools that were not quite as old as one, the state, and then two, that doesn't have quite the traditions, because this has been the sole campus really for Reno, and there is no other colleges where Southern California, within a square radius of 50 miles, you have, I mean, I can't number how many colleges, 10 plus for sure. So, I mean, it's kind of awesome that this university here and stands. So, breaking more now into kind of just, I like to call it the lighthearted side of the podcast. When you are not Coach Eck and you are in the community and you are with your family or anything else, what is it that you do for fun, you know, when you're outside of here?
All right, well, I grew up in a small town in Kansas, right? Hunting, fishing, those kind of things were always a big part of my childhood, going with my dad. He took us everywhere, to big game hunt, small game, you know, upland game, all those things. We hunted, we fished when we were little kids. We swam in ponds. We always did that kind of stuff. I want to give that back to my kids. You know, growing up in Kansas, there was never snow skiing. We had to drive to Colorado. We're driving 8 hours to Colorado to go snow skiing for a week. We would drive 8 hours to go to a lake in Missouri called Table Rock Lake that is, it resembles something different than a mud hole that we have in Kansas, right? You stick your hand underneath the water in a lake in Kansas, and it disappears after about an inch and a half, 2 inches. So to go to a lake in Missouri where you can see your feet when you're in the water, that was a new concept for us, right? And so what's interesting about Reno and what's fun for me with my kids is that we have everything within 45 minutes that I had during my childhood. I had to go so far away to get it. We had to drive 8 hours to Colorado. We had to drive 8 hours to Missouri. We had to go everywhere. You have everything you want to do right here in Nevada. So my boys love to camp. They love sports. You know, I want to take them to different sporting events. They are up here all the time. They see our student athletes. My oldest son remembers watching Colin Kaepernick in here weight training. And those kind of things are what I want to instill in my kids. And that's what I do. That's what I do for fun, is to get my kids out and into the environments that I kind of grew up in. Skiing, wakeboarding, those kind of things. Water sports, snow sports, hunting, fishing. You know, those kind of things are what I grew up with. Camping. I want the same things for my kids that I had as a kid, because I had so much fun, and my friends had so much fun, and my family, my other two brothers, we had so much fun together doing those things. And so that just had such a lasting, I have so many memories from my childhood of that stuff, and I want the same thing for my kids, my two kids. So that's really what it's about for me. You know, as far as, I guess, you know, around the house, Jen, my wife, puts me to work all the time. I'm here an awful lot. You know, this is a second home to me. My wife would argue that I'm here way more hours than I'm ever at home. You know, I'm there. Sometimes it feels like just to sleep and to eat with and have dinner. But I want to, this environment needs to be fun also. So if I can get my kids up here to see what Dad does, if I can, any chance that I can get to bring them up here to watch a sporting event, and so that they can grow up around college athletes, they can see the work ethic that our student athletes have. Those are invaluable to me. Those are things that I want to be a part of my children's lives, and for them to have memories of that stuff. So what's fun to me is seeing what my kids have fun with, and helping them experience all the things that I did, and more things that I did as a kid.
And that's, you know, for me, having your recovery time and your downtime is so important for your brain. So that's great to know, because I have been told, because I was a beach kid, I had Disneyland and the beach and all those things, but I didn't really utilize them a whole lot. But being up in Reno, I have utilized going skiing, and I've heard fishing's a big thing. Now, I don't know about the hunting, because I've never done it, but I do own guns, so I do like it. I just haven't done it yet. So really, I always also get into this one. Self-improvement is always important, and obviously you have done so much of it throughout your career, but do you have a particular self-improvement plan that you follow, whether it be week by week or month by month or year by year?
You know, from that kind of a standpoint, I think throughout our staff meetings here with my staff, we are always looking for new books. I read a lot. My coaches read a lot. We want to get to as many conferences as we can get to from that kind of standpoint. We don't have the biggest, best budget, so I can't send my guys everywhere that they want to go. There has been some cases in the past where I pay for somebody out of my own pocket, because I know how important it is from a continuing education standpoint, from a self-improvement standpoint, to get out and see other places, for us to as a staff to drive over to Stanford. It's not that far. That can be done in a weekend, and it doesn't cost very much. You know, those kind of things are what I'm looking at. But we bounce ideas off of here off of each other every day, and the camaraderie that we have from a learning environment, I think, here has been something that I look at and I appreciate. I appreciate my guys always asking me questions, and I can ask them any question, and it's not going to offend me. It's not going to offend them. I tell them all the time, I'm not the smartest guy in the room. You guys are here to help me. I'm here to help you. And that kind of working relationship and self-improvement, I guess, that's where it's at for us. And that's where it's at for a lot of strength coaches. I'm sure that's the same thing for you and how you develop yourself. And it's fun for us. It's fun to hey, I saw this article and it's got a link to this book. I think we should all check out this book, and we'll dive into it and we'll grab it and then we'll talk about it and we'll come up with ideas and build off of it and use things that we learn to help continue to mold our philosophy and to continue to help our student athletes. And it's really cool. It's really fun to have guys like that and gals like that on our staff that are just as nerdy, I guess, as I am. And we may be able to, you know, we can still squat with our student athletes and stuff like that, but I mean, the nerdy side of it and the book side of it is what we all enjoy, and we all enjoy talking about it and making it part of our daily conversation is how we are improving each other and how we're helping each other and how can I help them maybe take the next step in their career. And you know, I want that for them if that's what they want. So yeah, it's a cool environment to work with.
Awesome. Yeah, and that's one thing I always like asking, because you know, it's a continual process and it doesn't stop, you know, and that's why I like it and that's why it's been so different. But I know we are running short on time, and I know you have a very busy strength center. So kind of wrapping up, I was like asking, any three books that you would particularly suggest to you know, the listeners out there, especially, I also like asking this. Let's start with this one. For those that want to become a strength coach at some point, because you have walked the pathway and I have done the same thing, what is it that you suggest for them to really think about and for them to start educating themselves on, whether they be young or older or anything?
The biggest advice I guess I can give to young strength coaches is to, I guess, kind of like what I did, is to dive in head first. If that is what is going to make you happy and that is what's going to help you. I didn't seek out enough people. I didn't go learn as much as I could. I had great mentors and growing up in the field, a lot of people that impacted me, but I didn't ask enough questions. I sincerely regret not asking enough questions early on. I think, as any young strength coach may think about also, is you don't want to look like the dumb person in the room. You don't want to ask questions, because then it makes you feel vulnerable. Looking back now, I feel like I've got no ego. I think you could ask any of my assistants, I've got no ego. I'll ask any question as long as it's got a benefit to our student athletes or what we're doing here. I want to find out the answer. And, you know, from a references standpoint, I think if you look at high performance training for sports, that is an incredible, incredible resource. David Joyce and Daniel Lewandon, those guys are geniuses when they put this thing together. You know, there's so much value in what we do from a strength and conditioning standpoint. I guess I'm kind of a history buff because I read war books. I read, you know, Lone Survivor. If you want to read about daily struggle, if you want to read about true human struggle, go find Lone Survivor, the book, not just the movie. Go read the book. It's such an enlightening book, and I constantly I'll go back and look at that thing every week and just read about something that he did to help sustain himself, and to the mindset that he had from his Navy SEAL training, and how he would always fall back on his training. And those kind of concepts are huge with what we're doing with our student athletes. Can you, if you get in a situation out on the field or in the pool or on the court or something, how do you react to adversity? And do you fall back on your training? Reading a ton, just whatever you can find. You know, we've got a lot of great resources that I've spent a lot of time reading. Supple Leopard, you know, from a movement standpoint, Kelly Starrett is fantastic in what he's doing from that kind of side, from the physical therapy side to the strength conditioning side, the crossover between it all, how it makes sense in a dumbed down version. You know, those kind of things are fantastic resources for young strength coaches. The Essentials book, I mean, there's so much value in the Essentials book that you can gain so much knowledge just by asking questions and reading, and seeking out people, seeking out other professionals. For our volunteer interns that spend time with us, they've got an incredible resource with Dylan Hall, one of my assistants. You know, he's always throwing things at them to pique their interest. You ask him a question, he's going to go research it, and he's going to bring you something. That's the kind of environment that I want people that are interested in this profession to have. I want them to go seek out knowledge, go find out something. And, you know, like I said, the biggest regrets that I have are not asking enough questions early on. And, you know, in some ways I look at it as a blessing and a curse, because I had to find my own way, because I may not have known. So some of the stuff that I did was trial by error and figuring out stuff, maybe using my athletes as guinea pigs probably more than I should have. But those kind of things have enlightened me in what our profession is about. Our profession is about helping each other. And what Ken Manny does at Michigan State may be completely different than what I do, but there is value in understanding what he knows and his knowledge. And Ronnie McKeefrey at Eastern Michigan and all these guys that are in our profession, they may have one little tidbit that may help you out. And if you never go seek it out, if you never go ask questions, you'll never know. And that may be the missing link to your program. And so just encourage that to read and spend time seeking knowledge.
Yeah, and I think that's important because, you know, I get lucky in that, you know, I have a fiance who's a physical therapist, so I get a lot of knowledge from her I steal a lot of knowledge from her because I don't really want to remember a lot of it. Yeah. So, but thank you so much, Coach, for coming on. For all the 360 listeners out there, please find UNR, please research him, and please start looking and listening to the tweets out there that they put out, because that's going to be pretty important for everyone to start learning. This is 360 Coaching with another great interview. So, Coach, thank you so much for coming on. You guys will be getting more and more from this university, as these coaches have been absolutely fantastic. So listen back in on Friday. We're going to have Dr. Yassid, who's a sports psychologist here at UNR, and then we're going to be getting a few others on. So thanks so much, guys, and we'll talk to you soon.